Well, one of the things that we've been pleased to be able to do is to have our kids be involved in our Christmas program today and our carol and candle service. So thank you for coming out tonight. We welcome you to South Belt Church, and we welcome you to this Christmas time, this Christmas season. Such a wonderful thing. All of the music and the decorations and the attitudes and everything just really becomes a true blessing to everybody. And so we want to have the kids share in that a little bit. And so we're going to welcome them up for our first song tonight. And hope that everybody enjoys this evening as a time of worship and as a time of celebration for the great and good gift that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ.
That was great. Thank y'all very much. Good evening, South Belt Church. Wow, y'all breathing? Right. Glad you guys are here tonight. The theme of this evening's activities is Christmas, God's gift to you. And when you leave tonight, I hope you leave with the understanding that you matter to God the Father. You matter so much that He sent His only begotten Son, that if you would make a choice to believe in and belong to Him, that you would not have to die wandering in your sin apart from God, but that you would be able to go home to heaven and be with Him where He is. That's what Christmas is about. Christmas is about God's gift to you. And so we celebrate that gift tonight, because without that gift, there is absolutely no hope for us and for our eternal salvation. And so we're going to sing, we're going to celebrate, we're going to contemplate the light. Jesus said that He was the light. The light was the light of men, the life of men. And so we celebrate the light, we celebrate the life. Enjoy tonight's festivities. Sing with gusto and fervor, sing with passion. Sing like you appreciate the gift. And remember the reason for the season. Father, we come to you to say thank you for the gift of your Son this Christmas time. We thank you that as the next few days unfold and as the world kind of slows down a little bit, that we would take the time that is necessary to focus on you and on your hope and your gift to us at Christmas time. Help us to realize that if there were no Bethlehem, there would be no Calvary. Help us recognize that if it was not for the manger, there would have never been the cross, and we would have had no hope. But because of your love for us, you gave us hope by sending your Son, Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. And we celebrate him in this place tonight. We celebrate you in this place tonight. Receive our celebration and our contemplation in your name. Amen.
Well, I always love standing as I sing, and I would encourage you to do that as well. That request will not be enforced, so you make your own decision. But I invite you to, anyway, join in singing with us a pair of Christmas songs about coming to worship.
Oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O thou dayspring, come and cheer, as spirits by thine advent here, disperse the gloomy clouds of night, and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel to thee, O Israel. O come, thou great Messiah, free thine own from Satan's tyranny, from depths of hell thy people save, and give them victory o'er the grave. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Christ appearing. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord.
Good evening, my church family.
Good evening.
And Merry Christmas to you all.
Merry Christmas.
The image of Christmas is perhaps the image of the manger. Tattered blankets and tufts of hay nestled in a quaint wooden trough, now a makeshift crib. It would no doubt fail modern standards of baby cribbing, not to mention sanitation inspections, given its prior use. Yet it was fit for the Bethlehem baby and was more than an unusual convenience or a necessary stopgap. It was the God-ordained sign signifying a Savior. The manger, a rough structure unfit for humans, much less a king, would mark our Savior's entrance into the world. It is a bookend, part of corresponding pair marking the life of Jesus. For he also exited this world unto a rough structure unfit for humans, much less a king. One structure, the manger, the enduring image of Christmas, the other, the cross, the enduring image of Easter. Like bookends facing opposite directions, yet undeniably paired, consider the relationship between the manger and the cross. The manger, a structure designed to hold food for common animals. The cross, a structure designed to hold common criminals. The manger received the Messiah wrapped in swaddling clothes. The cross received the Messiah stripped of all his garments. The manger, Jesus flanked by his two parents. The cross, Jesus flanked by two robbers. The manger, a sign to draw shepherds. The cross, a sign to draw all mankind. The manger, a place where common men came to worship. The cross, a place where rulers came to sneer. The manger, as Christ lay there, the dark night was pierced by heavenly light. The cross, as Christ hung there, the sun was obstructed by darkness. The manger, shepherds returned from there, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just had been told to them. The cross, the crowds who came together for this spectacle, when they observed what had happened, began to return, beating their breasts in anguish. Hardly an appropriate entrance or exit for our dear Jesus.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive a King. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven
Good evening.
Good evening.
All right. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Luke is the only gospel that mentions this specific detail. And he does so twice and in just a few verses. Mary, we know, gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger. Luke recounts it because the shepherds report to Mary and Joseph these two details from the angel to help them find the child. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger, other than born this day in the city of David, which is Bethlehem. This is all the shepherds had to go on. City. Swaddling cloths, manger. There's no mention of a star guiding the shepherds' way to baby Jesus, as it would for the Magi. The main coordinate was Bethlehem, which wasn't a large city, but a nearby town, modestly sized. It wouldn't take long to ask around if anyone knew of a newborn. The confirming detail would be that the baby would be lying in a manger. That's distinctive. Luke then reports that this as the key detail confirming the shepherd's search has ended. They found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Why then mention the swaddling cloths? Unlike the manger, it was not unique or distinctive at all. So far as we know, every newborn would have been swaddled. First century Jewish care for newborns was in step with the typical practice across the ages and around the world. Swaddling was the normal practice of Jewish mothers. These are lengthy strips of cloth bound around the child to keep the limbs straight and still. The purpose was to keep them secure and provide stability. The wrapping of his fragile limbs in cloths was common in the ancient world to keep them protected and in a place, a practice that continues even today in villages in Syria and Palestine and even America. Swaddling is not only ancient today, but it would have been ancient for Mary and Joseph as well. At least 6 centuries before Christ, it was common in infant care, and thus a powerful prophetic image about the status of God's people apart from his election of them. Ezekiel gives us this incidental glimpse into the ancient care of newborns. Cut the cord, wash with water, rub with salt, and wrap in swaddling cloths. Infants who were wanted and cared for were washed and swaddled. Wrapping that secured his little body in birth would also be needed to bind his body in death.
Amen.
Sweetly singing o'er the plains and
Good evening. Swaddling was normal, and yet this child is not normal. This newborn is lying in a manger. While the swaddling accents his commonness, the manger signals the extraordinary. This Christ child is unexpectedly typical and surprisingly distinct. He is normal, and yet not. He is fully human, and yet he is more than other mere humans. Set apart before the ages began, here he lies, in a feeding trough. The arrival of the incarnated Son of God is a study in contrast between how God did it and how we might have done it. From the virgin conception to the parents of lowly estate, to the little town, the undignified visitors, and now the manger, God does it like no human would have planned. This child was born to die. He emptied himself, not by subtraction of divinity, but by addition of humanity, by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of humanity. And being found in human form, he humbled himself. Already lying in a manger and starting point for a 3 decades path to the cross, he is never angry about the stigma of the virgin birth, nor our humanity, nor the place where animals feed, nor the path of suffering, but chooses obedience. Obedience to the point of death, even death on a cross. In every sense, he was perfectly normal. In every sense, he was perfectly divine.
Near Yeah.
ultimate.
Perfectly human and perfectly divine, swaddled in the manger will not be the last time Christ's human body will be bound. When they arrest him one day, he will be bound and they will carry him bound from one unjust trial to the next. Even more helpless than a swaddled baby will be the man Christ Jesus, with iron chains around his hand and feet. And then greater still, the binding with nails of his hands and feet to the cross. The swaddling at his birth will not be the last time in the Gospels that we read about the incarnate Son being wrapped in cloth. After his death, he will be wrapped again, this time in linen. Among the Gospels, only Luke, who mentions his swaddling, draws attention to the grave cloths. In chapter 24 and verse 12, we read, "Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home, marveling at what had happened." The infant in the manger would not stay swaddled, and his crucified body would not stay dead. He entered into the world swaddled, bound, frail, a fragile reality of our human existence, and carried us with him, even in our finiteness, into the boundlessness of eternity and the coming new world. He is not dead. He is risen. The one who was swaddled like us is now the King of the universe. And yet it all began in Bethlehem, in such mildness and meekness. The one who would come from heaven to save us must be truly us. The one who would pioneer our way into the very presence of God must be like us in every respect. And so we marvel at both the normalcy of his swaddled humanity and the whisper of that unusual manger in this singular child, the child who came and lived and died and arose so we might have him as our gift of Christmas.
Baby boy has come to make you new. The manger was step one on the Calvary Road. The Calvary Road is downhill, not because it gets easier, but because it gets lower. The Savior's life starts low and ends lower. Though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, starting his life lower than a servant in a feeding trough. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. This is how the Savior saves, and this is how the Messiah fulfills all the promises. This is how the Lord reigns from infinite deity to feeding trough to final torments on the cross. For those who have eyes to see, the message of the angels makes sense. Yes, we must follow him, and we read Jesus' words in Luke 14. Anyone of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. It is a lowly road, a hard road, but there is no greater joy than to be on this road with the Savior. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. This is not moderate joy, this is great joy. Glory to God in the highest, great joy to us, and great glory to God.
While Christ came into the world for you, don't forget that you came into the world for Christ. We're going to, in a moment, light these candles. These candles represent the light of Christ, but that candle is in your hand. What happens with that light after you receive the light is entirely up to you. You can keep it, and you will enjoy it as long as it burns here. Or you can pass it and share it. And you can dispel greater and greater darkness. My prayer for you, my wish for you, my hope for you this Christmas season is that you allow the light of Christ to shine in you in such a way that you change the people that are around you, that you give the people that are around you hope, because the light that you hold is the light of Christ. And what you do with it is up to you. He is your Christmas gift. And he is to be shared. There's enough of him to go around. And so as we contemplate the light that represents Christ, and as we contemplate the fact that that light is in my hand and in our hand, choose to be someone who passes the light. Not just this time of year, not just at this service, but make it your life's mission. Would you pray with me? Father, we have heard tonight how you came into this world in lowly estate. We have heard tonight how that lowly estate only got lower because you came as a servant. You came to give yourself for us. I pray that this time of year that gift would not be lost on us, but that we would embrace that, that we would let the magnitude of that engulf us in such a way that it has palpable reaction in our life. We thank you that you gave us your light. We thank you that in a moment we will hold that light in our hand, and it represents holding you in our hearts. We pray that as we take that light and pass it to the people that are around us, that it would be a reminder that we are to spread the light, that we are to spread your light in the world in which we live. There's a great hymn that says, "The whole world was covered by darkness and sin, but the light of the world is Jesus." You put that light in us, and you ask us to share that light with others. And so we come at this moment to take the light, the light that belongs to you, that you gave to us, so that we might spread it to those who we come in contact with. Help us to be spreaders of the light. In your name we pray. Amen. Jesus was the one single light. Jesus gave that light away so that you could shine with His light, but also that you could pass that light to others. As we stand together and as we sing, spread the light. Mr. Jones has turned all the lights off in the building. Other than the lights on the tree and the lights we hold, there's plenty of light to see. There's plenty of light to do things and to get things done. Your light matters. Your light matters. Jesus' light in you matters. Look at the difference it makes in this room. I want you to know something. You matter. You matter. You matter to the kingdom of God. The light of Christ in you matters to a weary world. And they want to rejoice. And they want you to rejoice with them. Would you take your light and would you help them rejoice this Christmas season? It's up to you. The light is in your hands. What will you do with it? I'm so glad you came tonight. Thank you for being here. I want to say a special word of thanks to Mr. Jim Williams on the piano tonight. He's a friend of Doug's, and Debbie's known his family, and Tabby was in drumline and band with all of Jim's kids. And he decided that he would help us celebrate tonight. As we go, I'm going to ask my friend Paris Patrick to come and lead us in closing prayer. Paris is here. Come on, man. That's what preacher's supposed to do, right? Preacher's supposed to say the prayer.
In and out of season.
Good, brother. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. How are you?
Good. He'll pray and we'll be dismissed. Make sure you blow your candle out before you leave. We don't want you going all Lance on the police, all right?
All right. Shall we? Father, thank you so much for the great example of your life.